This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is September 11th, and it's a Monday morning, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and we shall be continuing our interrogation of our educational system. It's not about bashing. It's not about even being absolutely right or challenging the status quo. The idea is we want to identify what is working, what needs to be proposed, and basically celebrate what the government is doing at this present time. Recently, I saw a number of, They had a technical cadet started back again. They had a teachers group? Like a teachers, you know what I'm talking about, Aaron? It's like a teachers cadet.
Yeah, I didn't see the proper name.
Okay, I didn't see, but it's for teachers. It's like a group, like a youth group for teachers. I saw that. I saw one for physics, for STEM in general.
Right.
And then, they have the police cadets, the Rangers cadets, right?
This is a BDF.
And then I saw one celebrating GHS. So this is where our conversation is going to stem from right here, where Government High has a cadet form system where they, similar to BTBI, have a system where students can pursue a career in cosmetology, can pursue a career in barbering, and sue a career in auto body mechanics. And I need to find that slip up. And I wanted to know, are these things working? Right? Of course, I want to celebrate them. So let's start off saying that kudos to the government for making sure that these things are implemented and these are options for our children. That our children who are going to school to learn these academic studies, math, English, the sciences, can also learn practical skills, right? I see they have a system where they learn in soft skills, how to answer the phone, how to fill out forms, application forms, how to have customer service skills, soft skills before they graduate. Then also they have a system where, again, they are learning the basics of electronics, basics of art and design and craft. Right? Home economics type concept, baking. They have a basics of tourism, right? Our government, our education system has adopted various systems that a typical kid can have a career post-graduating, have basic skills post-graduating. And I know that a number of parents, a number of Bahamians were concerned whether our system is actually working. And that's why I say I wanted to commend the government, because I saw the programs. I see the programs and say, hey, well, that's different. And we must see if it works. But I want to interrogate this in general, right? So when I was in the U.S. for that short stint, right, they had a Job Corps program in the United States. And I'm not sure if the listening audience are familiar or is familiar with Job Corps in the United States, that in about grade 11 or the last year of grade 12, they send kids who doesn't want to pursue academics per se to learn a trade, and put trade in inverted commas, because they learn to like job assisting programs. One becomes a veterinarian assistant. They learn how to take care of the animals, clean the animals, the temperature of the animals, groom the animals. And at the end of that concept, you get a certification and you can seek employment as a veterinarian assistant. I'm not sure if we have that here as yet, but that's an option for a job. They also had a nurse's assistant, where you went to get certified and you learned how to take care of elderly people, help them with feeding, giving them medication, cleaning, support to elderly persons. So you're not a nurse per se, but you are a nurse's assistant in terms of care to sick and the elderly. Then they had a teacher's assistant course, where you get a certification on how to teach students. And the courses goes on, because they had various number of courses you could do. And I'm saying, hey, that's a good idea for the Bahamas to adopt. And then I noticed that we have similar systems, right? But my question to Aaron was earlier this week, when I said, hey, that's what I want to talk about. Is there a certification for the system that we have? Can these students who are taking these courses get a job as soon as they graduate? Or do they have to go still pursue formal education to a BTVI, to a University of the Bahamas, mm-hmm. or a subsequent school after that? And that's where my conversation is. Is it enough? Is it something we say, yeah, at least we're doing something? Or is it something that we need to challenge and say that administrators, we need more? So that's where my conversation today. And of course, I have Aaron Green, who stayed back to help me with this discussion. I'm going to ask her now, right? One of the courses I saw was a teacher's assistant, mm-hmm. right? And I was asking early, what exactly is that, right? In terms of when you finish, because the person was at, what school I saw? I saw Kingsway Academy. They had the program, right? And there was a government-sponsored program, a teacher's corps, I think it was called. And I'm trying to say, after you get your certificate, can you get a job with that? I just don't know. I mean, no one outlining what is exactly they being taught, because it's not a degree. So what is it that they are learning at this school?
Right, and is it connected to accreditation, right? So I get this certificate, but can a school hire me and still maintain its accreditation, right? Does it fit into their criteria? And that type of certainty is necessary, right? First of all, it's not fair to just say to students, well, take it as an opportunity to learn some skills. It should have an outcome. It should take me somewhere. I should gain something if I fulfill the requirements of this program, of this course, right? Of the core activities, if it's a teacher's core. And that's questioning. Is it going to fast track me into a program at BTVI or University of the Bahamas? So if I complete the teacher's core certification for teacher's assistant, does that fast track me into the UB teachers program? Does it fast track me into a BTVI teachers program? Is it accepted in the United States of America, for instance? Is it compatible, comparable, or commensurate with the teachers assistant certification in the United States of America? Is it accepted in other countries in the region, in the Caribbean? Like, what's the purpose of it?
And this is where my interrogation from comes from, right? Like I say, I don't want to be overly critical, because I'm impressed that something exists, right? But I want to know, what is the conclusion? What is the goal, the objective of the program? So I said, I will ask and poke the bear and ask the question to see if it actually is helping what right. we are going through in the Bahamas.
Are there scholarship opportunities for the highest performers? Or the highest grade earners, right? Are you connected to an institution abroad in the United States, in Canada, UE, or in the Caribbean, in Jamaica? So that, you know, if I do well, I have an opportunity for a scholarship and placement in an advanced program somewhere else, right? And it's like the top 5, the top 10 in this year get those placements, and the others are fast-tracked into local programs. Like, there has to be a purpose for it. It's not sufficient to just say, well, you could learn some skills. You don't think that's enough? No, it's not enough.
Yeah.
What's the purpose of the program?
And at this point, I wanted to commend Doctors Hospital, right? Doctors Hospital Health. They have a STEM student program, something called the BTTF STEM, where they train students who are in school still. Mm-hmm. Right, to learn biology and various medical type terms, whatever it is. But after the program, they hire you. So I could see the benefits of their program.
Hire you in what capacity?
Well, some kind of, okay, like during COVID, the persons who were taught were the ones who had taken the COVID swabs and whatever it is.
Okay.
So they had a career path. And then after that, you could pursue some type of formal education. But they train you basic clinical type stuff. right? Generic stuff, like an assistant to these medical officers. My point is, I saw the benefit at the end of the pathway.
So you may not be a phlebotomist, you may not be the person drawing blood,
no,
but you may be the assistant. You may be ensuring that all of the equipment for this next session is sterile,
yes,
that they have everything that they need. And you go back to supplies and you say, hey, after this last session, we need to reorder the out of these things, very necessary, right? I could see that level of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's what you're expecting. There should be an end goal. There should be a path, and this should be taking me somewhere, not just deliberate, but identifiable, right, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, tangible,
mm-hmm,
something that I could touch and has real value outside of the school system.
I'm not sure when you were at school, were you a part of the technical cadets corps?
I was.
Because there was a police cadet corps.
Yeah.
And there was a technical cadet corps.
Yeah.
And both was, I assume, was beneficial, right, to the students at the time. The police corps, technical cadet corps, you know that persons who took that more likely go on in policing.
Yeah.
Right? Of course, they got a salary, also a stipend,
mm-hmm,
for the young person. So they were eager to participate in that. So they're bringing those things back. So, and I could appreciate what it is. But I was asking you, what exactly did you do in the technical cadet corps? Because I was separate from the police corps, and I was saying, what was the benefit to a Bahamian student to apply and join that?
All right. So I think the schools identified people that were already, that had a high interest in technical and vocational skills or training,
mm-hmm,
but also people who had the aptitude, right, for it. But I saw it, one of the things I think it functioned well at was introducing students to opportunities that they wouldn't have access to in the formal 8-to-3 school system, right? Mm-hmm. So we had a session that was water and sewerage skill base. We had a class that was BTC skilled base, right? Like we had math classes, we had physics classes. So you get the basics of these things, and then you, I did my small internship at BTC,
mm-hmm,
right up the road at Poinciana Drive, right?
Mm-hmm.
We learned how to install lines, mm-hmm, for phone systems, right? And how to crimp the end of the line and attach the adapters and understanding the language, understanding the ways that they work, right? And so I think it's most beneficial to young people that aren't quite certain what they want to do,
mm-hmm,
but teachers or administrators have identified a potential capacity for,
mm-hmm,
and they say, hey, let's send them there and let's see if this is the thing.
Our text here says, Nuri, why don't you guys do research and call the ministries or minister before guessing about these subjects? Stop guessing and call the ministry to get answers.
Let me answer that question. Mm-hmm. Have you ever tried to call a ministry recently?
The phones just work.
Sir, do they work?
No.
Have you tried to call, dear sir?
But we'll continue our
interrogation. I'm not saying
that
the people aren't willing to speak.
No,
it's
we'll
just
continue
can you get to somebody, mm-hmm, to speak to?
And of course, usually when you ask questions, they tend to show up and volunteer and say, let me explain these things.
Yeah.
And me being a parent, right? Me, I'm a parent.
Uh-huh.
The questions I'm asking, because I'm a parent, because I do not know,
mm-hmm,
right? I just happen to have a platform now. I can say these things out loud and people respond in kind. Right? Because, mm-hmm, a number of parents don't know, and I have a child who's aggressive in terms of her education. And I said, some of these programs I just do not understand. So I can put the question out there as a parent.
Right.
Right.
And,
as a parent.
And we assume that all parents have the same amount of time in the day to attend to their children's needs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not every parent has the time to call the Ministry of Education to do it the same way that not all of us have.
Should we, as parents, be calling the ministry to say, please explain this program you have?
No, you shouldn't have to.
Oh, okay.
You shouldn't have to, and that's the point. You shouldn't have to, right? The Ministry of Education and the individual school administrators should proliferate. Like, y'all should be sharing this information the same way that political parties share campaign posters at election time. You should be flooding the communities with this information. And we need to get rid of this idea, this talking point, this rhetoric that if they cared, they would know. Mm. If they cared, they would come and find out about it. Sometimes we forget that not every parent has the same amount of time in their day mm-hmm. to attend to these things.
But a job, my objective here is to interrogate what actually exists.
Yeah.
Like, and let me give an example. This is from government high school,
yeah.
the government high school. And they also have a part as part of their curriculum, a program,
right?
Right? And this program that they have is, let's see, cosmetology department here at the government high school. Please be advised necessary materials needed for you to function in the area of study. Now, this is my question.
Mm-hmm.
I have no issue with the price
mm-hmm.
that the school is suggesting that it costs.
Yeah.
So that's not my question, right? My question is education free in the public school? That's my question. That's the premise.
Mm-hmm.
And if education is free in the public school, can a school charge a fee to public school students to have them get access to a curriculum? See, can they charge me extra money for math? Can they charge me extra money for English? And government high school has an additional kit fee. Cosmetology beginners, $280. Barbering for beginners, $300. Facial kit, beginners kit, $180. Acrylic nail for beginners, $105. Manicure and pedicure kit for beginners, $105. And mind you, I quote the price of them. I'm not saying that every Bohemian should be able to afford this, because if you can't afford it, just don't take it. You just lose out.
No, that don't make any sense. Let's just stick a pin there.
I
would like to question.
That's why I'm interrogating these things.
Yeah, because I don't think that makes sense. That if you
can't afford to get the education, you just lose out.
No, that's not. We have universal access to education.
Not according to this $300 for the Bible
and
beginner kit.
And if you're suggesting to me that you have added these vocational courses to the curricula because some students are not going to excel and would be called traditional academics, then why are you creating a barrier by it, making it mandatory that they can afford it to be able to take it?
Because this is for middle-class kids, not for poor kids. Those poor kids got to either stick in academics or fail.
No, I don't think that's how it works. I would like to challenge that point.
No?
Yeah, no.
But a text would say that we shouldn't interrogate it. So this is why I'm interrogating all of this, right, to find out exactly what it is. It says it's open house program payment, right? It says the first term you pay $200, the second term you pay $200, and the third term you pay another $200. That's $600, right? And I'm trying to say again, do we have free universal education in the public school? Because this seems like it'd be a term school fee. Again, I'm not mad. Because I see what they're trying to do, given access to education, access to a system where ordinary these kids weren't going to be exposed to. But if it's part of the curriculum, education is supposed to be free.
Yeah.
Now, you could tell me that we only have 4 clippers. And if you want your personal clipper,
right,
I would encourage you
to get your own personal clipper.
Your own clipper.
We have a base of supplies that students could use.
Yeah. Oh, the first 10 people we
can
give free.
And you've assessed how many individual items you need to be able to conduct your class within the schedule provided, right? And then you have to ensure that those things are there or you can't run the class, right? Why would you penalize the student for being poor? Like, what if their parents are unruly? When I say unruly, what I mean is that they don't care to acknowledge their obligation, to their economic obligation to their kids. What if the child comes from one of the residential care facilities, right? What if they have no parents
mm-hmm.
to pay for these things? Will they just automatically be labeled as too poor to take this class? And is that fair, right? And so, how solutions, right? Let's mm-hmm. slide solutions, over to
yes.
solutions. Are alumni associations supporting schools by ensuring that students could have access to the equipment and resources they need to expand their education?
That's why I need to tap Fernanda now, who's here in marketing, because I know he's very active in government high Alumni Association. My thing is, I've sponsored one or two kids who needed assistance in these programs, right?
Yeah.
But, and I appreciate even reminding me that alumni should want to assist kids. Yeah. And I'm thinking of the texter who said that, no, it's a parent's responsibility, and if the parent is unable to take care of the child and the child, and I'm shaking my head, right, that we don't have a collective responsibility to make sure that each child has opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. Each child has at least a bare minimum of access to education.
Imagine that people that are making these decisions, right, that say that if your parents can't afford it, then you shall suffer.
You shall suffer.
That they grew up in an entirely different environment, right? That they are able to be in a position called policymaker,
mm-hmm,
because they grew up in a time when there was a collective responsibility for young people.
And I'm glad you reminded me. A few people realized that our founding fathers who went abroad to England were sponsored.
Mm-hmm.
They were sponsored by the community, either whether if they're the Bay Street Boys or middle class black Bohemians in general, but they were their education was sponsored because the Bohemians understand the collective responsibility to make sure that we all get access to education, right?
Yeah.
So I got a little flustered about certain things, but I want to interrogate all of this education because I understand what it is that the government is trying to do. You know, mm-hmm. I'm just saying that, is it working? Or should it be interrogated to say, let me suggest better options to make sure that Bohemians have a better access to education? But I see we have a telephone call here. Go ahead, producer Patrick, call through. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Once again, Ms. Nuri and Ms. Green.
Morning.
Morning.
Oh, how we have progressed. Ms. Green, listen to this. When I was a youngster, the first time my mother took me to school, she worked on Shirley Street what they call it, Retirement Road, where they have that Rubis gas station on Shirley Street before you reach Mackey Street.
Mm-hmm.
We lived on Madeira Street. She had one of those bicycles with a little basket in the back. And she rode me to Eastern Prep Number 2, which is on Shirley Street, where the post office is on Shirley Street and Mackey Street.
Mm-hmm.
She took me there the first time going to Eastern Prep. She showed me how to get there from Madeira Street. And then she rode down to the gas station. At 3 o'clock, I walked from the school to the gas station. She took me back home. The next day, the young men and myself in the area, we walked from the Madeira Street area to Eastern Prep Number 2. From then, they taught us how to get to the Eastern Junior School on Madeira Street. And then we went to Eastern Senior School. We walked all the time. Didn't have no jitneys, didn't have no bus. When I finished Eastern Senior School living in Centerville, we walked to the Government High, Ponceavon Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
I walked to school from a young child to when I graduated in 1970. My mother died when I was 15. My father never even had a car until after I graduated. He used to be a bartender up on Shirley Street by Mackey Street. He will leave home in the morning around 7:30 to open up the bar by 9, come home by 10 o'clock in the night because he had no car. I bought my first car, awakened to Deltec International Banking. We had no parents to go to no PTA meetings. We had no parents to drop us or pick us up to and from school. We had no omnibus and no jitneys to take us to school. They have all of those things now, and the country has a D average.
You know what they don't have? They don't have a culture of appreciation for education.
I can hardly hear you.
I said they don't have a culture of appreciation for education, Sparky. That's what past generations were able to tap into, right? We expect these young people to solve these problems as individuals. We believe we solve these problems as individuals. Like you say, you didn't have parents going to PTA at that time, but what many people don't realize, and many people do realize, is that they were able to succeed because there was a culture of appreciation for education, and there were systems in place that reflected that culture, right? And that's the thing that's missing. Kids have more tools, they got access to more information, right? They got longer school hours, but what they don't have is a system to connect to that supports them in their educational journey. And what I mean is, it's subjective. The kid who living in the bush, in an unregulated community, has the same right to education as the kid coming out of the suburbs, like an area where I came from, right? And they deserve equitable access. So you know that they got to walk to school while others got to drive to school.
Mm-hmm.
You know they got to do their homework before the sun goes down because they ain't got no light in their house.
Mm-hmm.
While others of us could stay up until midnight, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, doing foolishness and getting the homework done whenever. Back then, there was systems to turn to. Now, students, they got more resources but less support.
See, and like I said, I want this conversation to be about interrogating the systems that our government is now adopting.
Yeah.
Right? Because I see there is a need for new systems. And on a prior show, the number of callers called and give recommendations of what the education system needs.
Yeah.
And as a response, the Ministry of Education has put these new systems in place. They brought back technical cadet corps. They brought back the police cadet corps.
Right.
They implement this teaching corps. They reinvested inside the Rangers, right?
Right.
And all these different technical corps. And of course, we're speaking about government high and their cosmetology system, whatever it is. But my question is it working? Is it enough? Or should we suggest more that needs to be done? Particularly, and in regards to government high, that they are charging $300,
right,
for a syllabus that should be free.
Right, the progress is good. We see that there's a new framework. Right, they're thinking differently. It needs support. It needs external support. Right, we know that the students who need it most are probably least likely to access it. Particularly the ones with the costs attached to it. And y'all could say, yes, some of these students, they are working. They could make the money. But you know what they're using the money for? To pay the light bill. To pay the car note.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? They're using the money to buy groceries. They're using the money because so-and-so is sick. And what they used to put into the family account ain't coming no more.
Mm-hmm.
So, to say to them, or they could make the money. They might make the money to buy their shoes and they buy their pants and thing. Yeah, he has to buy the best shoes possible because mm-hmm. he footing it every day.
Mm-hmm.
He foots it. That's what he does. He needs to get the best shoes possible
mm-hmm.
so they could last. That's the next thing. We talk about how do we support students. We got customs inspectors, right? We need a system. You know that students walk to school. Why are we allowing shoddy and mediocre products to come into the country?
Hmm.
Right? Why do parents buy clocks? Because they need shoes to last 2 years. They need shoes to last a year and a half. People buying cheap shoes that last 3 months.
Hmm.
You know you got extreme flooding around the schools. Who's selling Macintoshes? Who's selling rubber boots?
Hmm.
Who's selling boots for children to walk to school through the water? And then you telling them you can't come to school in the wrong socks, you can't come to school in the wrong shoes, but y'all wouldn't even make sure that they could come to school without getting their feet wet.
Hmm. One of the criticisms I had earlier regarding even government high in their program,
yeah.
saying that why not teach Bohemian students an alternative to service industries, example, barbering and cosmetology and beauty and makeup, so that we need to teach them new trades. And of course, I asked the person, what type of new trade are you talking about
mm-hmm.
that is affordable, accessible for the average student to learn and to get a job immediately?
Yeah.
Right? Because these jobs or these skills are for day two after graduation. They're able to start an entrepreneurial type living to mm-hmm. take care of themselves. Right? And their suggestion was... And I didn't even think of it. They wanted more, what do you call it now? The thing where trailblazing thing, where I'm trying to get the
AI
type cryptocurrency. Concept.
Cryptocurrency.
And I'm saying, I'm not sure if we're there yet as a nation
yeah.
to teach that and expect the student to get a job tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know, you're thinking 5, 10, 20 years from now, hopefully. or how do they learn this trading? Because that's what they wanted. Said you could trade online, Forex type thing, and teach them that. And I said, I ain't sure when they ain't have no computer. That's something worthwhile teaching Bahamian students now instead of something they can use tomorrow.
Right, as opposed to, you can offer it as an extracurricular activity, but you're really focusing on job readiness. And students you know are not going to university, right? They need to be world ready when mm-hmm. they step out of high school, right? They need to be prepared to navigate the world. Because
so what you mean by world ready?
There's no law saying that you have to go to university to be an adult, right? That you have to go to university to be respected in society. Some people leave high school and they go to work. But I don't think high school is preparing students to be able to support themselves financially straight out of high school. That's a problem, and it's an indictment on the education system, because there's no law that says that you have to go to university or get a bachelor's degree or get an associate's degree to be able to take care of yourself. That we have not realized that we are pushing thousands of students out of a school system, and they're not, like, Bahamas Baptist College became a thing because so many students were unable to take first-level English and first-level math when they got to COB. I mean, it essentially created a whole new school, right?
What happened to Bahamas Baptist College? Does it still exist? I don't hear about it anymore. Just saying, I just don't hear about it anymore.
Yeah,
I assume that we still have issues with basic English and math.
It's a whole school, right? Isn't the whole high school now?
Yeah, it's a school. That's a right. different school. That's Charles Sanders. I talk about the college part.
Right, right. On Jean Street, right?
Yeah, but the college.
Yeah, the college part. I don't know if they sort of got folded into UB or what, but we got a major problem. I come here today to say that I rebuke anybody that tells me that a D average isn't a problem.
Isn't D the mean now? The middle?
Listen.
Or D is still the D?
D is always a D.
But you could get 60% and become prime minister.
No, that's not how we got prime minister. No? You get 60% and stay prime minister.
Text right here. Say, Aaron is seeing. Let's not act like every child needs this. Boys need this because they struggle in school. Boys need this because they are outnumbered in the universities. Boys need this because it's them that are packing bags. Girls are empowered and get to stay at home and be taken care of. And it's a darn shame. I guess that's the text is saying. And I guess that's the proponent of having these technical schools.
No, that's not the proponent.
No?
That boys need all the help. I think we're realizing now that boys are struggling, right? I mean, nobody's denying that. Boys need support. We have, what is it, feminized academia and intellectual. It's soft to be smart. It's soft to sound that way. Some of us put on an affect. Some of us think that you have to sound like a European to be smart, right? And that's a space where people
Does smartness have a look? I mean, some schools you can't have sideburns, you can't have mustache, you have to cut your hair, or you become dunce, become problematic. So smart must have a look.
No, smart doesn't have a look. But
so Rastas could be smart?
Rastas are smart.
So why they have to cut their hair?
Colonialism and ignorance.
Okay. Go ahead. Sorry about the internet.
No, man, don't watch that. I think that was a great break. Yeah. Is something wrong with the system? Something wrong with the D average? It's something wrong with insisting that a D average is fine. Look around you. A D average is not fine.
So right? What do we do to the people who get in the D average? And this is still interrogating what we need to be doing. Right? That government has adopted a number of systems for the average people.
So here's a part of the...
Or persons who... Well, I guess the average people.
Here's a part of it. These programs are great. They're excellent programs. The attempt to support students who you don't think are going to do well in academia, it is fantastic, Mr. Newry. Mm-hmm. I think that the attention really needs to be directed at the early education years, though. I think the attention really needs to be directed at primary school going into junior school.
Mm-hmm. Right? So you're saying the issues we're having is earlier than grade 7?
Yeah.
The issue that we need to concentrate back on 5, 6 grade, and at least have them reading and performing at that level.
Yeah, there's something that happens to boys when they are leaving primary and going into junior high. So it's sort of speaking to what the text is talking about. There's something that happens in that transition from primary to junior high where we lose the imagination. And we lose connection with a lot of young men, right? The systems are not working. One of the biggest suggestions is you need more male teachers. You need more men in school. You need young men going through these developmental changes being taught by more men, right? But I think while these programs are great, you're trying to provide a solution for the symptom, and you're not getting to the root of the issues.
Mm. Let's take a break now. And when we come back, we'll continue to interrogate our educational system, continue to promote what it is that the government is doing. And we're just basically asking, is this adequate? Should we push for more, right? Yeah. Should we applaud? But I understand exactly what the government is trying to do. But who is their target audience?
Yeah.
Right? Is it target audience for the C average student, or is just below that?
Right. Also, is it effective if it's the wrong age group? Are you targeting the wrong ages as well?
Mm. Anyway, Guiding Radio to AM with C.A. Nuri. We shall be right back.
Marketing presents Becoming, a transformative women's empowerment summit that will take place on September 24th at the National Training Agency located on Gladstone Road at 3 p.m. Phenomenal speakers include DeQuessa Dean, Simone Bowe, Sherilee Pinder, Marissa Mason-Smith, and Dr. Nyambi Campbell-Dean. Not to mention a flaunted fashion show segment hosted by Miss Phyllis Garraway. Tickets are $50 and can be purchased at the Nassau Guardian or Essence Med Spa, number 15 Bradley Street, Palmdale. Card proceeds will be donated to the Jenny Dean Caring and Sharing Cancer Support Group.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk.
And welcome back to Guiding Radio AM, and I'm C.A. Nuri, and we're talking with Aaron Green. And before the break, Aaron is suggesting that a D average is a bad grade. And I know I'm betwixt in between saying D ain't really that bad. D is a fairly decent grade. No? You're going blank?
You could see that, right?
A, B, C, D, E, and there's F, and there's a G, and there is a I. So D is in the middle. D means you could read and write. D means that you have a grasp of understanding the work.
We've got second graders who could read and write.
But you're reading and writing at that particular level of BGCSE. I will say to you, Aaron, we have always been at a D level, always, our entire history of examinations. Because remember, you had some people who never took the exam because they thought it was going to get F. So we conclude that all those who didn't take it was F grade. And then those who took it was the better ones of us, right? So it still boils down to a D from GCE time to now. The question now is our bare minimum good enough to propel the Bahamas forward? Can we make sure that these persons who are the D and below have adequate training, either trade, skill, customer service, or just being nice in general, or be able to comprehend and solve problems? Are we doing enough to make sure that those people are able to survive this new Bahamas?
No, we're not. We're not doing enough, Mr. Nuri. And this may be the harshest, coldest thing I've ever said on radio, but no, this D, it's not just the D average. It's all of the commentary suggesting that there's nothing wrong with a D average. Right? There's something wrong with a D average. No, we don't expect everyone to get A's, but we aim every year for the highest performance possible. I mean, you want students to sit in their homes and watch movies. Remember the movie Stand By Me with Morgan Freeman, where he's the teacher and he went in and he turned the whole school around, right? You want your children, they sit at home watching these movies and seeing that these things are possible, but you looking them straight in their face and telling them, it ain't possible at all. It's not possible at all. And that, my friend, is a problem. It's a very big problem. Mr. Newry, here is the grading system. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I had it in my notes, but that's from 17 months ago, right? Take a look at it. A is knowledge, specific, appropriate, and comprehensive evidence of exceptional comprehension skills and outstanding high-order skills, problem-solving, and critical thinking skills. A B is knowledge, specific, appropriate, and comprehensive evidence of exceptional comprehension skills, very good, high-order, problem-solving, critical thinking skills. C, knowledge specific and appropriate to the task, evidence of sound comprehension skills, good, high-order, problem-solving skills. D, knowledge specific and appropriate to the task, comprehension evident, critical thinking, problem-solving skills, satisfactory. E, general basic knowledge exhibited, also evidence of ability to comprehend this knowledge and limited.
See, I would say you stop there, but keep on going.
F, basic knowledge still limited, goes beyond the recall recognition level to show some understanding of this basic knowledge, very limited problem solving skills evident. G, limited basic knowledge about the task required and only at the recall or recognition level, with no comprehension and no problem-solving skills evident.
And let me say this, right? Because I want to mention that. Because a texter was calling me saying that the majority of people are working for C students or C graduates. But we have a range. They call A's to C students, and then there's D students. The majority of Bohemians at this present time, according to the numbers, are D students or D and below. Then there are AC and students, and then there are D students, right? The majority of us happen to be that, right? But what does D mean on your range?
Knowledge specific and appropriate to the task, comprehension evident, critical thinking, problem solving skills, satisfactory.
See? Satisfactory. Satisfactory.
Just that word alone. Say it again. Say satisfactory. Who is satisfied
once,
by that?
Once upon a time, that was
satisfied
C.
Satisfied by that.
That is D. D is satisfactory.
Who is satisfied?
But we're not satisfied by that. No, we just, it's a system now to see where we are, where our students are, right? Either they are the AC range or they are the D range.
D and below.
A D and below. And just that majority of us are the D and below.
Yes.
Right? But AC range are called academics. Academic students who want to pursue higher learning, right? No?
I mean, that's very loaded there, but I appreciate what you're saying. You assume that they want to pursue higher learning. You assume that they excel because they want to pursue higher learning. We assume all, but tangled in that assumption is that we assume those who got a D and below don't want to pursue higher learning. And see, that's the problem with the thinking. We limit the potential for success by pushing above the D average by insisting that the D average is fine. But let's get beyond.
Can D students survive and can D students be successful? Because by the numbers, suggesting that the majority of Bohemians are at that D range, that would suggest that the majority of persons who are opening businesses are more likely in that D range. The majority of people who are working in tourism, is more likely in that D range. That majority of people who are working for government is more likely in that D range. I would say the majority of people who are in the
you
medical...
You want to talk about it? Hold on, you want to talk about
yeah,
it?
Yeah, why should I?
Let's talk about the business owner that chooses a location for their business. Their intent is to drive high traffic through their business, but they have no intention of accommodating cars on their property because they built a property knowing that they're going to have high traffic and they only got 3 parking spots. They don't feel any need to accommodate or moderate the behavior of their own customers, right? And so they own customers all over the place, inconveniencing their other customers, right? I'm going to suggest to you that we have been in crisis mode for a very long time and are unable to see the ramifications of this particular construct and policy. Because at this point, it's a policy to convince us that there's nothing wrong with the D average. And I'm going to argue with you that we have created a country that's having problems with critical thinking skills, with the ability to comprehend and reason through problems and issues, to navigate dynamics around them. And you could see the evidence of it. You don't need to do a survey. Sit in your car and watch the ways in which people decide to navigate the roadways. Bahamians that park their vehicles on sidewalks are evidence of a D average. But Bahamians that park their cars on sidewalks in walking communities filled with poor people that don't have cars, where it floods, are a special kind of D and below average student.
I hear you, Aaron. We have 5 minutes to go, 4 minutes to go, right? I wanted to say this. In Jamaica, in order to become a security guard, you need to take a certification class, right? In order to become a custodian, person who's pick up the garbage.
A janitor.
You would need to take a certification class.
Yeah.
Have we reached to a point in the Bahamas that every job, packing boy, gas station attendant, they need to be a certification class. You have to go to school.
Get rid of the certification class. You know who got to take a certification class? Taxi driver.
They got to take order to have a taxi license plate, you need to get a certification class.
Look here, you tell me who turning right on red at Mackey and Shirley Street the most?
That's the same going to college.
Obstructing traffic the most?
That's the C average people. It ain't the D people.
It ain't the D people. Eh?
They don't get taxi job.
Listen, the point is not to ridicule or I want people to, because I don't think that's what you were doing. I want people to understand that this requires a rigorous and thorough critique, because we are preparing young people to take over the country. This is a ethical and a moral and a legal duty we have today.
Anyway, hopefully we'll continue our interrogation of the educational system and what is happening, and also commend and critique what is happening
right
in the future.
Commend and support and by support. Offering critique.
Yes. Anyway, Guardian Radio in the AM with C.A. Nuri. I see Jeff Lloyd is going to be here today. This could be a great show.
Well, they're talking education.
Yeah, they're talking education too.
Because you got it. I hope so. You got Jeff Lloyd in the building.
We'll be talking politics.
He's had some of the most innovative ideas.
Yes. Anyway. Guided Radio and the AM. Next would be Howard Grant. Howard, what's your show name?
That's the bad. Foundation.
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah, I forget. Anyway, have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.